The following show is dedicated to Mia Park and Barbara Yang. The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga, Saturday morning, October 18th. October is flying by, and 2 weeks from yesterday is Halloween, and if you go out trick-or-treating or your kids go out trick-or-treating, grandkids, be careful. It's dark out there, people drive wacky, and seems like they're driving crazier all the time. They're changing the speed limit in Saratoga Springs to 25 miles an hour, which is very difficult because we, as a school bus driver, we have to go through school zones at 25, and it's very hard to keep a vehicle at 25 miles an hour. Just be careful, and especially this time of the year, if it's a little rainy, the leaves in the road, and the kids will, you know, may walk someplace they're not supposed to. Anyway, we got a great guest this morning, Martha Hoslacker from the Gateway House of Peace. And Martha was on last month talking about what Gateway does, and we'll just review that. But we have another subject that's really important that people should know about. So good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Good. Martha is on the website, but it's Maggie, actually. And I always call you Maggie, but I don't know why. I just want to be prim and proper, I guess.
That's quite all right. It's my given name. It's just family and friends call me Maggie. So
yeah,
there
I
you
know.
Go.
Well, that's good. They could call you something else, I guess.
But. I suppose, right.
Well, let's recap Gateway House of Peace before we get into the palliative care aspect of what we're going to talk about this morning.
All right. I think that's a great idea because it sort of segues well with the topic. Gateway House is not a medical facility. It's what you call a social model comfort care home. And in New York State, that means we have two beds that are available for people at the end of their life. And what we do is we step in and become the family and the home that they might not be able to have, or they might not, in fact, have at all. And so Gateway has 24-hour awake care, and it relieves the family and the friends to just be that. We take over the care and all of the personal, the personal needs of an individual, helping them bathe or eat or just conversing with them. As if they were in their home, but now they're in our home.
Right. And, you know, as we always say, people really don't like to talk about this among family members because it's probably the hardest thing to do because, you know, it's the last thing that you can do for them. While you make the patient feel comfortable and you take care of their needs, sometimes family members have a tough time dealing with that. But on the other hand, they should be thankful that they have a place like Gateway House or Hospice. And, you have a website, and that is gatewayhouseofpeace.org. And people should remember this website because if you ever are facing a situation, give them a call. I mean, wonderful people, wonderful staff. Maggie's a great executive director, and they make things very easy for families to transition their loved ones to a real peaceful and rewarding end-of-life experience. November is Hospice Awareness Month, and
yep, that's right.
What's going on in November? Anything?
Well, because hospice is always trying to get the word out, and in addition to being hospice awareness, it's what's called Palliative Care Awareness Month. And so there's a group called the Senior Network Resource Group, and they try and find topics that are of use to seniors and to their loved ones. And so they're putting on a show November 6th. It'll take place in Gilderland, dealing with compassion in practice. And so palliative care and hospice care often are misunderstood, and even by professionals. So they're the professionals are trying to connect individuals and important resources through this consortium that they're going to put on November 6th. And we have a link to that on our website in case anyone is interested in hearing more.
You know, I'd like to, well, I can talk to you about this after. If I could put that link on my website.
Oh, sure, I'll send that
as
to you.
As a podcast for that, because, you know, there are quite a few people that go to the site to listen to previous shows.
And okay.
That. But, and then I can always refer people to that. In a public service announcement.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. All right, yeah. I'll give that to you.
And I mean, now, in 1978, that was palliative care by Jimmy Carter, President Carter. Now, did he start the palliative care or the hospice movement?
Hospice started that movement, and Jimmy Carter made it. He assisted in making it a national organization.
Okay.
He started the observance intended to focus on increasing public understanding of what palliative care is.
Okay. That's, you know, I'm not a political person, but back then I really didn't think much of them as president, but as a lot of people don't, I think, when they're in office or after. But when you look back on what he did, I mean, the man was involved in a lot of fantastic things, rebuilding
Habitat for Humanity
true. Was one of them, obviously bringing hospice and palliative care awareness nationally. He really did a lot of things, and the presidents don't get credit for it when they're in office. It's down the road. You look
right,
back in history.
You recognize it.
You recognize
so
it.
So there's an interesting point about hospice care and Jimmy Carter, as he ended his life on hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a question not long ago about, well, I thought he was on hospice for 2 years. So there is a difference that we'll talk more about between palliative care and hospice care.
Yep.
But hospice care requires a terminal diagnosis, and
right.
And he had that. So then it's re-evaluated every 6 months. So he was on hospice care, which meant that he had nurses and hospice doctors overseeing his comfort care meds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it transitions into this palliative care, because palliative care is designed to care for a person who is in pain.
Okay. I just want to bring up this program that's going to be hosted by Hamilton Park in Gilderland. It's Thursday again, November 6th, from 9 a.m. to 12. The program will begin promptly at 9:30. And you're going to hear from local providers, and it's going to be a great program. So keep that in mind, and, you know, I'll keep putting it on the shows.
Yeah, thank you. There are going to be two boards talking. So one will be a board of palliative care professionals, and then one will be a board of hospice care professionals, so that people can ask questions of the different disciplines.
Well, that's really interesting.
They've slated me to talk with the palliative care professionals.
Oh, great.
So that'll be nice, too.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. And that's a great topic we can talk about in future shows, too. You know, both.
Sure.
Both of the programs. Gateway had a garage sale a while back, and I told you before the show, it was one of the days, I can't remember, because I don't live near, I live off of Grand Avenue, which isn't that far away, but it must have been when I was coming back from church, and I went by, and boy, the place was mad.
Yes, I'm still catching my breath. I think some people, even more than I was, it takes hours and hours of, it's probably 1,600 hours of volunteer work to make that happen. It's a lot of effort, taking in donations from the community and then organizing it and displaying it so that people can find it. And then for 3 days, we sell it. There's not a lot of parking at our place, and that, in fact, was difficult to manage. The Lions came in, and Sherry Hoffman's insurance group, some of her volunteers came in to assist with directing people for traffic. And so, I want to give a shout out to those groups that really are there for the community.
Sure.
And the yard sale itself is a large fundraiser for the work that we do, because we offer this care to families and to individuals who don't have the ability to pay for it. And mm-hmm. we offer it through things like these fundraisers or donations. So it was a big success, and a lot of people got to go home with new to them, in some cases brand new things, and then in others just gently used rehoming, right?
Yeah, sure. Well, they always say one person's throwaways are another person's treasures, and that's true.
We even had one of our former volunteers and prior staff members had recently passed, and asked her family to give her household, furniture and kitchen appliances and kitchen dishes and those sorts of things to the yard sale. So what a nice full circle, right? Because she was there through the beginning of the organization, up through its current, 11 years later, and in the end, she still supported what we do. She loved it so much.
I think once people, whether it be an employee, a staff member, a family who has taken advantage of hospice, or in your case, Gateway, I think it draws them in to help out in the future in some way.
Yes, I just recently received a Amazon wish list gift from one of our former families, and she remarked that she just is forever grateful for the care that she and her husband received when he was passing, and you're right, it's a way for them to pay it forward.
Sure, yeah, that's great. Well, you're there. We always appreciate your hard work, and we'll keep mentioning the rest of this month and through October, November, what it is, especially with November being Thanksgiving month.
Yep.
People always, they celebrate Thanksgiving with turkey and whatever, dinner and family get together. People are a little more giving at Christmas time, but I think at Thanksgiving, it's kind of a lost holiday with people saying that, we thank God, or we give thanks for what we have. But it should be, too, that what we have, maybe we can share
sure.
with somebody.
It's one of the ways that we can give something and it makes us feel better. I don't know how that works, but by giving and of yourself and your time and your talent and your treasure, it increases your ability to feel joy. And it's also one of the things about the holidays that can be difficult for those who have recently lost a loved one is there's a loss that you don't know what to do with, and you don't know how to express that when everyone else is happy, or it seems that everyone else is happy. And one of our board members is looking to provide a you know, morning or difficult conversations during the holidays. And if I get that nailed down, I'll send you a link so that you can talk about that as a resource for your listeners.
Yeah, do that. You know, I mean, we're getting a little off topic here, but holidays, I mean, there's so much support out there for people who have trouble during the holidays, but holidays are really a tough time for a lot of people. And a lot of young people, too. I mean, my take on holidays are it's for kids. I mean, they have the most fun. They don't think about anything else and that. But as adults, like you said, we struggle with things, whether it's loss or, and they're not there, or just things are crazy in our lives and that. And how, you see everybody else having a good time and you say to yourself, oh, boy. So there are struggles that people have, and a lot of times it's people that aren't here. So it's great that, you know, I don't know. I just think the world, as you know, in previous times of the work Gateway does and hospice. Let's get into palliative care.
Okay.
Why don't you explain what palliative care is for patients?
Okay. So it is a bit misunderstood. You're right. It's not something that is just regularly talked about. And palliative care does not need a terminal diagnosis. What it means is they have a serious and chronic illness. And the design of palliative care is to ameliorate or to make that more livable, more palliative, right? It is different from hospice care because hospice care does require a terminal diagnosis, as we were talking about President Carter in his end. And he had a terminal diagnosis. But palliative care can be for a lot of people who are dealing with chronic pain that they do not have a way to cure.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that there are people who may be in wheelchairs or may have a chronic back pain or heart failure or an autoimmune disease that's not really being treated medically to get better. So then what do you do? How do you live? How do you go on with your life knowing that whatever this thing is that you're dealing with isn't going to go away? And so that's where this specialty of palliative care comes in to address the symptoms. We can't fix the cause anymore. That's what we've decided. But we can address the symptoms so that you have a better quality of life.
Because people can live years with chronic illnesses.
Yep.
Even, I mean, they could act normal, still function,
sure.
Maybe do their jobs. Not everybody, but they have chronic pain that medicine just doesn't take care of.
Yep.
And so palliative care can address those situations too. Now, part of the thing too is that it's designed to keep people out of the hospital.
Yes.
And emergency rooms.
Right.
Can palliative care, now who pays for palliative care? If a person needs it in chronic pain, they can't get better, they have to manage it and deal with it, who pays for it?
That is, of course, one of the questions we always have with our medical system and our insurance system. And there are insurance policies and programs that will address palliative care needs. So Medicare does, and Medicare is not just for people who are 65 and older. It often addresses people who have this chronic illness. You can be Medicare eligible. And then other insurance programs will pay for, because they recognize that chronic pain is debilitating or can be.
Mm-hmm.
And it also allows people to participate in their lives more fully and in the community and in their jobs and in their families and all those things. So it's in everyone's best interest if it is paid for. Not everyone has insurance. Not everyone gets qualified for Medicare. And then that means what? There are probably, and I'm not an expert, there are programs that you can search out and find other resources to assist. But it probably takes a lot of, work maybe that you don't have the energy for. So
right, or time. I mean, yeah. You know, if you work and you're helping take care of the person as a family member and that, and then to have to do a lot of research or contact people during the day when you work during the day, it can be a lot of work. But, I mean, you know, something has to be done. So, that's good that there's some form of way that people can, some people can go.
The other thing is New York State has several websites that are dedicated to addressing those, you know, to answering those questions. And so to start there by doing a little bit of research through New York State, I don't know about you, but I have a terrible time getting anyone on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And so if we can start with what's available on the web and read, they'll point us into directions where we can find some of those answers ourselves.
Sure. Or maybe even a contact.
Yeah, yes,
it's
exactly.
Very hard today.
That's right.
To get through to people. You
right.
know, you have to, and a lot of times it's very frustrating,
especially
for older people.
Right.
You know, it's amazing how kids can maneuver around on their cell phones to find information out today. And, I mean, we get to be a certain age, and it's just Greek, you know. I mean,
yep.
It's crazy. One of the questions I think, too, is in the forefront of people's minds is, where will I receive palliative care?
Yes, and that's a really good question, because sometimes we worry if we admit that we're having a chronic pain issue or a chronic illness, that means that our life is over and we're going into a facility and we won't be able to do anything anymore. And that is the sort of the added bonus of getting a service agency to direct you to palliative care, because you do it in your life. You do it in your home. It's designed not to, restrict you to a hospital or a facility, but to open up your options to live your life as best you can where you are.
And don't be afraid to ask someone about, have you heard of palliative care? Or
right.
I heard of the palliative care, because you can ask, friends.
Your friends.
You can ask your health provider.
Right, exactly.
Or you can call a social service agency.
Yep.
And even if they don't have information on what to do, they can maybe point you, just like getting on the internet. Maybe
they
able
should.
To point you to
that's
yeah,
right, exactly.
To someone, and you may be surprised that friends or family members that may know about palliative care or heard of someone that their friend or whatever
right.
had heard of palliative care. Is there? Maybe later on in this, but is there a place in the area that offers palliative care? I mean,
there are, especially there's something in St. Peter's called the we call it the HIPU now. I don't remember what it's called, hospital inpatient unit, and it's designed specifically for symptom management, right? So it will, they have 10 beds there, and they're specifically helping people deal with whatever those symptoms are when they're out of control and you can't manage them at home. There are other units in other hospitals that do the same thing. Palliative care is no longer as mysterious as it used to be. There are doctors who specialize in it. And so it's becoming a much more normative practice.
And again, you don't need to have a terminal illness to get palliative care. And so, you know, it's just a way for people, and don't think by getting palliative care it's the end of your life,
right?
Because it isn't. Let's talk about, before more questions on palliative care, the differences between hospice and palliative care.
Okay. So some of them that I was sort of hinting at, I guess, is that palliative care is for those who are struggling with a new diagnosis or were visiting the emergency room often, suffering from pain, anxiety, or other symptoms caused by a chronic illness, but they don't necessarily have that terminal diagnosis, which hospice is looking at. Hospice looks to a doctor, a provider, to say, yes, this is a terminal diagnosis with anticipation of 6 months or less. That's not the case for palliative care. So then palliative care is for chronic care management. They're designed to manage those anxiety symptoms or the pain symptoms, whereas hospice care is specifically end-of-life care to assist the patient, the individual, with living as well as they can, as pain-free as they can, for that last duration. And palliative care actually is looking at continuing healing treatment, right? They're trying to get a person as better as they can be.
Right.
Maybe there's a cure, but as I said, there may not be, but to have a sense and a certain amount of healing that allows them to live better. That is not the case for hospice. Hospice stops any curative treatement.
Right.
So that means that if you are on hospice, you may no longer be taking your blood pressure medicine or your heart medicine or your diabetes medicine, all those kinds of things that had been designed to continue your life are stopped generally once you're on hospice. Yeah. That's not the case with palliative care.
And, you know, as as people live, I think maybe 50, 60 years ago, palliative care wasn't even considered, or not considered, but maybe pushed as much.
I don't know if it was identified as
right.
a thing, right?
But as people are living longer today, you know, well into their 80s and some in their 90s that aren't terminally ill, they can still get around. But, you know, they have problems.
Right.
And today with medicine and that, life is extended quite a bit. But it doesn't mean that they're living in a pain-free, you know, completely healthy life. So palliative care is...
It makes sense. I mean, even if it's not something that's, say, some of the bigger chronic lung or heart ailments, what about arthritis, right? It's debilitating. It can be for a lot of people. Maybe they don't want to have that hip replacement surgery or a knee replacement surgery or shoulder surgery, right? Maybe they're not a good candidate or they're just not interested in surgery. Well, palliative care then will work with the limitations that they have and assist them in managing around that diagnosis.
Sure. And I can attest to the fact, because I have terrible arthritis and I've had some, you know, surgeries, replacements and that even though they help out, it's not a, how should I say, it's a foreign object in your body. And you do have problems after. I mean, it's not a cure-all for everything. Some people get a lot better than others, but you do have pain after of what they were supposed to fix. And I mean, like I said, it's a lot better, but you know, there are problems. And I think as you get older, It gets worse, I think. So that's great that you can have an outlet.
Sure. To help right. You and, that. And, you know, I mean, here we are sitting here in our later decades, let's just say. And, there are, athletes, there are, you know, college and high school athletes that have an injury that can cause them a long-term disability, or veterans. Let's face it. That's a really, very tough on bodies. It can be. Sometimes you need a little bit more than just physical therapy. You need what else is next? How else do I manage this new normal?
Yeah, and you're right. And there are so many things that can create a problem like this. I mean, most, you had mentioned sports. Most sports stars, when they're young, you watch a football game. And these guys are flopping all over the place, banging on the ground who knows how many times during a game, or pushing each other around. They have knee problems, back problems. A lot of them really have major problems and, pass away early.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of ways that you can get injured and have major injuries that in later life
and
can
so
cause.
I think that that's... it's worth talking about this palliative care separated from hospice, right?
Correct.
Because a chronic illness and the symptoms that go along with it can transcend just a terminal diagnosis. And if we're not willing to talk about it, then how do we even have a chance of getting any relief?
Well, as we said, with hospice too, you really don't want to talk about it, or you may not know enough about it to take advantage of the programs, but it is something that should be discussed when a loved one gets to a point before it gets really bad. You know, what are our plans going forward? But people don't want to talk about
it. And so that brings me to one of the things we talked about earlier this year is having those conversations. And New York State has a small pamphlet, a PDF that you can download called Deciding About Healthcare. And it also is the focus of that is to start having those conversations. There's another form that all hospice and end-of-life providers will talk about is what's called medical orders for life-sustaining treatment. And that's designed to go in tangent with the doctor to make those decisions. Who do you want to be your healthcare proxy? Who do you want to be talking for you if you're not able to? Let's just go back to your football player, right?
Right.
He gets a head injury. He's out cold. I mean, it's not a terminal out cold, but who's going to speak for him? Who's going to say what to do? So these conversations can be held a lot earlier in our lives. And then we can have a lot more mental relief. I don't have to worry about it. I've had this conversation with my loved one, and they know what I want to have done.
Right. And we have a plan.
We have a plan, right.
I'm receiving care from my health provider. What will palliative care add to what I'm getting now? Health providers try and manage the problems that we have,
Well, because palliative care is a specialty, right? We usually go to generalists. And so if you have a broken bone, you then go from your generalist to a specialist who will set the bone and give you a care plan that will include pain management and physical therapy to get you back to the best that you can be, having dealt with that. So when we talk about going to your healthcare provider and having a chronic illness of some sort, and your doctor says, I really don't know what to do, you can ask that question. Well, what about palliative care? Is there someone I can talk to about that next phase, right? So my doctor, my dear doctor, has done everything that she can, and I'm still not getting relief. So, all right, well, what's next? Who can give me some relief? Maybe it's physical therapy. Maybe it's some kind of medical medicine, right? Mm-hmm. It might be any of those things. It might be both those things. And the doctor is looking to a cure, right? That's the whole focus of most medical interactions. If there isn't one, then they're kind of at a loss. That's when you say, all right, I need that next specialist. And it will be another conversation.
Now, do you find that, like primary, your primary physician, I mean, is treating you, taking care of you, would they suggest palliative care? Or
they should, and I think that probably they will. I mean, I know that your primary care will suggest a dietitian if it's necessary, or a counselor, healthcare, mental health care professional if it's necessary. So this is another one of those things that they can have in their toolbox, and they pull it out and they say, "Hey, I think this will help you." It's when my mom was suffering from a chronic disease, she got to the point where her doctor said, I can't help anymore. And in that case, in fact, hospice was able to step in and help with managing the pain that she was dealing with. But perhaps she could have had a palliative care intervention earlier to assist with that pain management before she was on hospice care.
Sure. When I go to my primary, and maybe most people are like this, you know, the first thing they do is weigh you. Then they take you into the examining room, and they take your blood pressure and that. And then, you know, the doctor will be in. And you don't wait an exorbitant amount of time, but I'm glad that they leave you alone for a couple of minutes, because they have all these posters on the wall.
Yep.
And it's for, you know, weight loss. We're having a clinic on weight loss here, or manage your diabetes, you know, call this number. I always walk in with a piece of paper and a pen.
That's a good idea.
But, you know, I mean, there are so many programs designed to help people today, and I think it's pretty neat that doctors' offices make people aware of the programs. But if you take the time to read the posters, I mean, they usually have a catchy picture on them, so in their pictures to do, you know, how to manage your weight, how to take care of your heart and things like that. So you know, there are programs that they do try to steer patients through.
Right. And I don't think that this is one that has a catchy poster yet, but it could be. So maybe that's a goal of this symposium, is to start talking about putting at least the hint out there that this is an option, because as you and I are talking about, this is the first time I've talked about palliative care. And I work in an environment where it's certainly much more normative to have that conversation.
Right. That's, you know, and it's just good to get the word spread and make it a normal part of our lives, and another option that we can choose to help take care of yourself or a loved one or whatever. Some of the symptoms that they can help with, I know on the website they list a bunch of different things, even emotional or spiritual support related to your illness. I mean, it's like I hate to use this term, but it's a one-stop shop.
Right.
For people that have many different problems. Like, you wouldn't think when we talk about this now, we're talking about health issues like heart disease, or we had mentioned chronic back pain or whatever. But people also have needs in a spiritual manner, too, to make them... if you're spiritual,
it's very holistic, right?
Right.
If you're making a pot of chili, it's no longer just beans. And if you're from Texas, there's no beans, but it's no longer just sauce and meat. It includes the spices, and then it's all bound together. By the time you've got a pot of chili, you don't have individual items anymore. So we are holistic. And if we don't treat our mind, our body, our spirit, our hopes, our dreams, all together, something can get lost.
Sure. And I did find out about Texas chili by going to Texas Roadhouse.
There you go.
Because if you order chili there, there's no beans.
That's right.
So that's, no. You know, and I'd taken a friend out to lunch, and she didn't know that, but when she got it, she loved it because she didn't like beans.
There you go.
So, the kid really enjoyed it. But one of the things, too, is that we may have been taking care of our problem in our lives, you know, handling whatever problem we had, pain or whatever. But as you get older, you know, things break down more or the pain exacerbates because of age and that. So it's just...
For some of those pains, they sort of pile up, right? It's like the small snowball that starts rolling down the hill, and then it's bigger. And then by the time it gets to the bottom, it's a big whole thing that you can't even move anymore. So if we don't investigate something like palliative care, well, maybe we're trying to manage it with isolation or alcohol or drugs or even, you know, ibuprofen or Tylenol. But all those things, if not dealt with well, can become part of the problem instead of a solution.
Exactly. And I found that out when I was having, before I had my first spinal fusion, I had terrible back pain. So I was alternating between Tylenol and ibuprofen. And I did that for so long, a doctor said, you got to stop it, because one can cause liver problems and the other one can cause bleeding problems. So we think we can solve things with products like that you can get over the counter, but they can lead to other serious diseases. So, I was just hoping that more people in the medical field can offer this kind of care.
Yeah.
Because I think it would help their physicians too, as a primary care physician.
Well, doctors in general went into the field because they wanted to help people. So as I said, this is definitely a tool in their toolbox that allows them to offer more and expanded help than they would in, you know, the 15 minutes that they see you in the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. With people that know a little bit about this type of care, it makes them understand, I think, a little more of when to ask for it.
Sure, right. I mean, I think that having just heard about the fact that there is something, right? So now it's a seed in the back of your head. You think, I heard about something, and now I need to find out more. If you hadn't heard about it, then how would you know to ask?
Exactly, because if you have, hopefully you have enough people in your life who may have known or known someone that had help in this area, or with hospice, or, you know, when it becomes time to put a loved one in a nursing home, which to me is, they're not the greatest places in the world, but, you know, they do the best they can. But I think by looking at these things before it happens, will take a lot of pressure off of you and off of the patient.
Yeah,
I have a friend whose mom is not doing well. She's in her 90s, and they had her living with them, and it got to be too much. So they looked into nursing homes, and now she's kind of outgrowing a nursing home. So they're looking at other options. They do a great job of researching. So it's kind of like a transitional thing for them rather than, oh, what are we going to do next week?
Right.
We've got to do something, you know?
Yeah. And you know, in the middle of some kind of major trauma, I don't think you're able to make the best decision.
Mm-hmm.
And when we at Gateway House go to visit someone who is in the hospital and trying to figure out what's next, it's often a relief of major proportions to know, ah, I don't have to worry anymore. I can go to Gateway House. I know what the next plan is. Now I don't have to worry about my friends or my family or being alone. Now I've got someone in my corner.
Right. Or in this case, with my friend, they knew enough about it by researching earlier on that when, because the last thing a person wants to do is to move out of their house or move out of their children's house if they're taking care of them and go to some place that's foreign to them and not comfortable.
Right.
And so if the caretaker or the family knows about this care, they can explain it in a way other than a professional medical person can, because, you know, The person's going to listen to their family member more than a doctor.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, most people when you go to the doctors, you got so many things on your mind, you forget to ask a lot of questions. And, you know.
And I'd much rather have the conversation now when I'm not under the gun than later when I'm worried and anxious and or in pain, right? Why not talk about it? Well, I don't want to think about it, right?
Well, that's
except
it.
That.
Yeah.
I may have to deal with it at some point, so I'd rather do it now.
We had mentioned that, if you're talking to your doctor and you're talking about the palliative care, some of the questions that you can ask, and you can do this too by researching. You sent some great links about this. You know, you can ask your doctor, what kind of treatments that you'll get there. And I don't know if people think of this as a part of hospice, but can I pursue a cure?
Right.
So they don't get worried about, oh, if they get better, they're going to be off of everything.
Right.
You
right.
know? And if will they still get the care from their primary if they get palliative care, is that they're not going to see them anymore.
Right. And I think that that's one of the sort of hidden gems of this concept of palliative care, because you can pursue a cure, you could get better, and you still work with your same team. You don't get transferred off into some other group of people that you don't know.
So you can keep your same doctor.
Yeah.
And go to the same doctor's office, and,
right?
You know, because that's a big deal. Because as people, even younger people, you go to a dentist or you go to a doctor,
right.
And then they retire, and you have to get a new one, and you're not comfortable with them, and it's
exactly.
Like it's foreign. Even with a barber or a hairdresser, they end up
somebody
you know,
who does
out.
your mani-pedi. I mean, all of those are very personal services.
Sure.
So yeah, that's
you know,
right.
And you say, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? And it is going to make you. It's going to help you make your life easier.
Yeah.
To live. And the term palliative care, what is the team of palliative care? Is there like you so work with people?
There is a, there the specialty for palliative care begins with the referral, right? Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to enlist the assistance of all sorts of disciplines. It may be a doctor who understands pain medicines. It may be a doctor who understands the body logistics, the movement, right? Maybe someone who addresses your spiritual or your mental health. Maybe it's diet, because there are a lot of autoimmune issues that are chronic and debilitating and yet can be assisted through dietary measures. So it's a whole team that works together to make that happen.
Okay. And we had mentioned before that we don't have to be in a hospital.
No, that's right.
To be in palliative care. And I call it palliative because, I can't pronounce words, but it's palliative, as you were saying. And, all right, so you're under this care. And what if you decide to change your mind and want to stop getting it?
Oh, it's the same as, you know, going to the dentist. You don't have to go. Nobody's going to force you to do this, right?
Okay.
But I know that if I don't go to the dentist, I probably will have problems. So.
Most definitely.
But there you go. It's a choice. It's an option. It's one of your own things that you can use to assist you in living your life.
Okay. And as we said, there are some insurance companies and Medicaid that will assist you in payment.
Right.
So why not? And again, ask your primary if you need, are interested in this, if they can point you in the right directions. But you sent, so, like I said before, you sent some great websites to go to, and one of them was Get Palliative Care.
Yep.
And the other, or hospice, mm-hmm. and palliative care together. So you can do a search, under that, and it'll take you to these links that have great question and answers, great information. We've got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. Maggie, I want to talk a little bit about the little booklet that you had given me, Gone From My Sight.
Sure. And this is a resource that hospice gives out for families who are dealing with a terminal diagnosis. But the beauty is that it's written by an RN, Barbara Karnes, K-A-R-N-E-S, right? So she also addresses the need for palliative care and how to live with these diagnoses. So she is a great resource, and it isn't just for those who are on hospice.
Mm-hmm. All right. So just refresh our minds before we end the show about Gateway House.
All right. Well, Gateway House is one of the community support comfort homes. It is in Boston Spa, mm-hmm. on Roland Street. It's designed for people who are on hospice care. And in the last 3 months of their life, we step in and work with their team to assist them in living as pain-free and happily, if it's possible.
Yeah, well, that's great. And I know we talked a lot about this before. I know how important hospice is to families. And I don't think there's anybody that had a bad experience with hospice. So it's great. Plus, now there's a new McDonald's up.
That's
up
true.
The road.
That's
from,
right. It's not done yet, but that's
House.
Right.
Yeah, pretty close though. That went up.
That's right. If you want French fries, there you go.
You know, I had just before we leave, I had a friend say to me the other day, we got talking about this, and he said they can't fix potholes. in the streets. It takes years for them to fill potholes, but they can put a McDonald's up in 4 months. You know,
well, there you go.
I know it, really. Maggie, thanks for being with us
today.
And, okay. And a great subject and a great service.
All right, wonderful. Thank you.
All right, have
Bye
a great
now.
Weekend.
Okay. You too.